Because the greatest thing that can happen to a Christian church is when God's people begin to live for God at home. And when they are in blessing at home and come along to God's house, they will certainly bring blessing into the house of God. Put it this way, bad Christian living at home will hurt the church, but good Christian living at home will build the church and make it a blessing in the earth. Now, the reality of the world and the society that we're living in is that about 50%, 1 in 2 marriages break down. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. May the Lord meet with us around His Word. Remember, we are in the business of calling all Canadians back to the Bible, back to the true source of truth, because God speaks in the pages of Holy Writ. You will not find the truth hanging in the air. You will not find the truth waiting for some green light from heaven. We go to the Bible. And I hope that you'll be a regular listener of our program, Let the Bible Speak. We're on the air Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., and Sundays, 5 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. with our full church service. Now, today's message is on the Christian home, living in the Spirit as husband and wife, as father and mother in the home. The Word of God directs us how to do this. I want to read to you Ephesians 5, verse 8 onwards. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God's Word, and it is a basic foundation for Christian living. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is a command to the Christian. We are not to be drunk. We're not to be using the spirit of this world, but we're to be using the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the fellowship and power of the Holy Spirit. And then we will have a Christian home. Because in Ephesians 5, the apostle goes on to talk about wives and husbands and their various roles. So let's get to the Word of God today as we turn to the pulpit of our church to this subject of living in the Spirit in our homes. As you know, I'm on a bit of a roll here on Christian families, preaching on Joshua. Firstly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then we looked last week at on what is a Christian home. And we went down the line on that it's really people with the Lord living in them, playing out those biblical roles that God has given and that they are resting and rejoicing in the Lord. Now, it would seem logical that we would move on to the various categories now that we find in these passages. After all, the apostle does mention here husbands, wives, children, servants, masters, as you go on into chapter 6. And my motive, of course, is to help families know God's blessing. It is to encourage and help those that are living for the Lord in their homes. But I have to confess that I also have a concern for the Lord's church, because the greatest thing that can happen to a Christian church is when God's people begin to live for God at home, and when they are in blessing at home and come along to God's house, they will certainly bring blessing into the house of God. Put it this way, bad Christian living at home will hurt the church, but good Christian living at home will build the church and make it a blessing in the earth. Now, the reality of the world and the society that we're living in is that about 50%, 1 in 2 marriages break down, and the stats for Christians is not any better. And the last thing that we want in our church is to see that. We would want to see this year and each year that there's absolutely zero breakdown in marriages. But rather, we want to see homes in blessing, husbands and wives rejoicing in each other and knowing the hand of God upon them. But we must be realists that there is not a home represented here today that is not the target of attack and of temptation. And living in a sinful world, there is much fuel that may become destructive to the Christian homes. And of course, Satan knows that too. And he's just looking for a hole in the hedge to attack you and your home. You remember how Job prayed that God would put a hedge of protection around his home. Well, the devil's just looking for that hole in the hedge to get right at your home and at your family. And so after last week's message on what is a Christian home, it's logical then that we would move on to look at, what should husbands be doing? What should wives be doing? What should children be doing? What should masters and servants be doing as we look at these various points? And that would seem logical. That would seem the thing that we should do. And in many ministries, that's what would happen. You would probably get, that's a 5 things that husbands should do, and 5 things that wives should do. And the recipe then, just mix it up with a bit of love and you've got a happy home. You think that's going to work? Would it work for you? I would imagine that many New Year resolutions have already been broken. And the problem is that we have the will to do, but not always the power to do. And so, as I look at this passage, Ephesians chapter 5, which really is the classic chapter in all of the Bible, if you were going to study and learn about the Christian home, the role of husbands and wives and so on, it's classic. But as you look at this passage, you will see that the apostle does not go down that logical road, but he begins with a very different approach. And he looks at a deeper problem. And of course, this is a letter written to Christians living in the city of Ephesus. It's a Greek world, the Minor Asia. It's a people that are surrounded with all the culture of ungodliness. And at Ephesus, there was the ungodly worship, ungodly living, things that are really unspeakable. If you go back to chapter 5, and you'll notice how the apostle looks at this, chapter 5, 13, verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things, things that you would never want me even to speak about in a public meeting. That would be embarrassing. It would be horrible." And that's the real world where these people were coming out. Gentile world, where people were living in an animalistic fashion, living by fleshly instincts instead of living by principle and morality. You're to speak to these Gentile
pagan people about morality, they would look at you. What are you talking about? They never knew the Ten Commandments. They never knew about what is right and wrong. And yet, Paul starts to write to these Christians and tell them about how they should live in their homes. And so he realizes that there's a fundamentally deeper problem than just the do's and don'ts of living the Christian life. Any people who have lived for years in debauchery, in a devilish, depraved manner, how are they going to turn their lives around now that they have made a profession of Jesus as their Savior? How are they going to turn that around and live in a newness of life? I read in the Expositor's Bible Commentary just a little about how these people lived, and I want to read this to you because I know you know I'm not a historian, and you may be wondering, well, where did our preacher get all this? How does he know? Well, let me quote from a much better authority. The Expositor's Bible Commentary says this: "The eastern coast of the Aegean is an ancient home of the vine," meaning that they lived off vineyards and grapes, and therefore wine was big. "And the Greeks of the Asian towns on those bright shores and under their genial sky were a light-hearted, sociable race. They sought the wine cup, not for animal indulgence, but as a zest to good fellowship and to give a freer flow to social joys. This was the influence that ruled their feasts, that loosened their tongues and inspired their gaiety. Hence, their wit was prone to ribaldry," which simply means disgusting things. If you were listening in their conversation, you would want to walk away. You wouldn't want to be part of it at all. And that's how they were living. Now, there is, therefore, the primary need before these Ephesians would begin to live godly in their homes: the power that is required. And so here is the apostle's answer. Here is how a Christian may receive power to live for God in their home or in the Christian life. Here's the answer. Ephesians 5:18. "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And instead of turning to the thing that will inflame the flesh, alcohol, wine, the thing that will put you out of control, turn to the one who can fill your life with grace and with power. Now we need to see the wisdom of this. We need to see that this is God's way. And we need to see that this is God's answer, and indeed it's a gospel answer. It's not the way of bondage and legalism. Whereas if I were to take the approach and say, look, now I've got five rules for the husband and five rules for the wife, and if you follow this, mix them together nicely, you would say, the preacher is pouring on rules, regulations, and that's just bondage to me. Bondage. Well, I assure you today, that's the last thing I wish for you. The last thing is for me to get a phone call from a wife and saying, look, my marriage is just bondage. I don't know how to cope anymore. The last thing I want to see is a husband throwing around his weight and showing that he has got the chauvinistic power to apply rules in the home, or vice versa. To see a wife that's rebellious and turning away from the things that are good and godly. Now, don't get me wrong, and we'll get to this one day. Roles are right, and the apostle lays them out in this chapter. Roles are right. There are things husbands should do, and there are things that wives and mothers should be, and there are responsibilities and respect that children should give. These things are right and good, and they are outlined. But the point I make is that resolutions won't cut it. New Year commitments won't work. Logical thinking to force people to see the harm they are causing won't work.
unless the Lord gives a new heart and the spiritual power to overcome. And so we need to look at this power to change.
Is there a husband here who tells me I don't need to change? Well, let me ask your wife first. I'll take my cue from her. Is there a wife here that believes my husband doesn't need to change? I wouldn't think so. And likewise, I'm sure there are husbands here who are saying, this is what I need to hear. My wife needs to change. But rules and regulations won't do it. And heavy-handedness won't do it. And pastoral visits with exhortations and pleas won't do it. But God has an answer to give you a happy and a holy marriage. God has an answer. And the problem is that I fear that there are some who are not willing for it, not ready for it. But I, as your pastor today, as the preacher here today, must tell you what God says. I would be failing if I didn't show you today what God says. And I pray with all my heart that God takes this and makes it real in your home and in your marriage life. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And here the apostle establishes the fact for the need of the Holy Spirit because he sees the excess. Notice that in the passage. Wherein is excess. Now that is Paul's way of summing up the ungodly man and the ungodly woman. And it was true of these Ephesians. Their lives were disastrous. They ran to excess. And if you understand this word, it's the opposite to salvation. It is the negative prefix in front of the word for salvation. It is destructive. It is ruinous. It is a calamity when people's lives run to excess. And it does harm. It causes grief and pain. And of course, it's the very opposite to God's saving power. Instead of saving or helping, it tears apart. And that's why marriages break down. And that's why homes are sad places at times. Now, in that ungodly state, it's like living like a drunk. Now, I didn't say you are drunk. And I don't even say you take drink. But those who live according to the flesh are just living as if they were controlled by the spirit of wine. Why? How can that be? I never take the stuff. I don't drink at all. But because of human depravity, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You see, the carnal man is unable to serve God. That's what you must get a hold of today. And that's what the Bible teaches us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 7. That the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and it is opposing the law of God. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's the answer. And the husband that's carnally minded, the wife that is carnally minded, is going to be running to excess. It's going to be doing harm. It's going to be causing offense and hurts and pain and trouble. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What a blessing that brings. And we see that in Romans 8, 6, 7, and 8. Now the success rate of people living for God's glory through the power of the flesh is nil. Is nil. You may ask, well, how do other non-Christian homes, how do their homes function? We don't know the half of the misery that goes on. We don't know the half of the sorrows and the heartache that is wrought within homes and families. And the answer that God gives to a Christian home, to a godly home, is that we need to be filled with the Spirit. The apostle is writing to these Ephesians, and remember now, they are regenerate people. They are born again people. They have the Spirit of God in their lives. Because you can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And he's speaking to these men and women in the church at Ephesus, And out around them's that ungodly world, and here they are inside the church wanting to live for the Lord Jesus. That's what a Christian's doing. I want to live for the Lord Jesus. I want to learn how to be a good husband. I want to learn how to be a good wife. I want my home to be a model Christian home. I want God's blessing upon my home. And here is the apostle saying that if you do it in the flesh, it'll run to excess and do damage. But if you do so in the spirit, oh, what a difference that brings. And so they're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to examine that, because here really is the secret. It's not a mystery, it's not a hidden secret, but it's the absolutely essential ingredient. And if it's not happening in your life, it's not happening in your home, you're going to be like those in the flesh running to excess. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it's a doing word. It's a verb. And it's something you're to do. And it's also something that's done to you. And it's like opening your heart and allowing the Lord to fill your life with His Spirit. And so you desire and you seek it and you wait for the Lord to do it. And then it's continuous. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Maybe years ago you had great blessing in your family, but maybe later in life you become a little hardened, a little isolated, offish, hard to approach, and hard to live with. Let's face it. God says you need to keep on being filled with the Spirit. And the point is this: you cannot be a godly husband, you cannot be a godly wife without the infilling of the Spirit. Won't happen. It needs to happen. And the point is that rules won't change you, but the Spirit of God can. And that's not bondage, because let me tell you, when the Spirit of God does the work in your heart, it is free and it's delightful, and it is your will being changed, your desires being changed, and your attitude and your very demeanor, your whole personality will change. Not just the things you do. You see, we need to be changed, not just the things. And that is, of course, God's answer. Now, I have an illustration, and I'm not sure if it's very helpful, but I feel compelled to give it. As you know, I come from a farm. And I thought in this I thought of the farmer out in the field with a bull. And if you've ever been in the middle of a field with a bull, the secret is watch your back and make sure you can run. And that bull out in the field, when you hear him in a bad mood, growling and roaring, you better get over the hedge. Now, if that bull is taken out of the field and put into a cage or into a pen, he's more manageable, of course, and he doesn't cause so much fear. But when you hear him roar inside the pen, he's not any different from the bull out in the field. It's the same bull. And if the restraints were off, he would attack just the same. Now, the Bible asks, can a leopard change his spots? Can he change his nature? Humanly, the human answer to that is no. But the gospel answer to that question, that is a gospel question. Can the leopard change its spots? No. But God can change hearts. He can change us. And He changes us by filling us with the Spirit. After all, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and so on. That's the work of the Spirit in our lives. Now, wife, don't you want to see that happen to your husband? Why, husband, don't you want to see that in your wife? Gentleness, meekness, long-suffering, patience. These are the secrets to Christian living. And the power to do it is to be filled with the Spirit. I don't want to send you away to do things on your own that you can't do. That wouldn't help you a bit. In fact, it might only depress you. And you might say, well, our preacher just raises the stand. He raises the bar and he expects a high standard. But I can't reach it. I fail every day. No, I recognize that we're all sinners, we're all powerless, we're all in the flesh. And the answer to living for God is to be filled with God.
the Spirit. That's the answer.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and it is my privilege to minister the Lord's Word. And I hope that this message on the home and being filled with the Spirit will make all the difference in your heart and in your home. Really, we need to be better people. It's not rules and regulations that makes a Christian home. It's hearts that are changed, natures that are transformed by the power of the gospel. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, that he might change us from carnal, sinful, depraved natures to gentle, meek, mild, love, joy, and peace, the fruit of the Spirit born in our hearts and in our lives. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit that is the applicator or the giver of all these benefits. And so we need to know God as a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in the heart of the Christian, and the Holy Spirit produces the new fruit. And that's what we're seeking. And I trust that you will not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, that which damages and destroys, but that you will know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, for he is the comforter, he is the healer, he is the one who soothes and gives power to live for God. And I trust that's the kind of Christian that you will be. You will have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And if husband and wife are living together with the power of the Holy Spirit, bringing forth that fruit of the Spirit, what a home it will be. Children will be raised in an atmosphere of great grace. And so we need to pray for that. I trust that today's message has been a blessing. And I trust that you'll join us each day. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.